Luke chapter 7. Commence reading at verse 18. Luke 7, 18. Jesus just raised a young man from the town of Nain from the dead. And the disciples of John also had disciples, you remember, and was pointing them to Jesus. The disciples of John showed him all these things. John called unto him two of his disciples, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist, literally John the Baptizer, has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that hour Jesus cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. What went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, We have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned to you and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And ye say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. I call this short portion of Scripture a Messiah moment. What an opportunity for Jesus to tell John and his disciples and all that were listening who the Messiah really is. Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? What an opportunity for Jesus to say yes or no. And he basically says, Go tell John that I am the Messiah. It's a Messiah moment. It's like the time when Mary could have told people whether or not she should be worshipped. And she refused. She said, you remember, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. John said that he was not the coming one. John 1:20 says, I am not the Christ. John, though, spoke of the Messiah as the coming one. He said, recorded in John 1:27, he that is coming after me is preferred before me. Call him the coming one. Malachi 3, the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. Behold, he shall come. Who shall abide the day of his coming? So the Messiah was prophesied as the one that was coming. John said, is recorded in Mark 1, there cometh one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. It was like Jesus to not answer yes or no, wasn't it? His answer was positively or cryptically yes or no. When the woman at the well said, when Messiah cometh, we know what he will say and what he will do. And then Jesus says, I that speak unto thee am he. And so he has a way of answering yes or no without using those terms. John 1:50, it says, because I saw thee under the tree, do you believe me? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He is showing his messiahship by his words and his works. Who art thou, the Pharisees said, even that I said unto thee from the beginning. We just want him to say, I'm the Messiah that was prophesied in Isaiah 53 and 61. And he does. John 6, I came down from heaven. That proves that I am more than a man. And the Messiah was both God and man. John 7, when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. And he answers, you both know me and you know whence I am. I am from him, and he has sent me. Who is he, Lord, the blind man who was healed said, who hadn't seen Jesus yet, that I might believe on him? And Jesus answered, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Jesus just had this way of giving a yes or no answer with such splendid and sometimes cryptic language. Matthew 26, remember the high priest? I put you under oath, I adjure you, by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Thou hast said, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting and coming in the clouds with his father's angels. So his first and his second were comings. And so John is using that language when he says, art thou he that should come? Or should we look for another? This is John the Baptist. Why was he inquisitive? He was the forerunner. He knew he was the messenger. He knew that he was the forerunner. John was his cousin. John was told all the prophecy about him by his father and mother after he was old enough to understand. We have the words of the angel and the words of Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary that John is the precursor, the forerunner to Christ. And that Jesus, his cousin, born 6 months later, was the Messiah. Why is John now asking or even doubting? Well, we have a clue. Chapter 3 and also Matthew 11 says that John landed in prison. John was in the dungeon down near the Dead Sea. And dungeons weren't like our penthouses, penthouse dungeons that we have today. They were dark and dingy and dirty and dusty and damp. They were dungeons. You knew you were in prison. But we still don't exactly know what was on his mind. There are some conjectures. He was wondering, well, some of the messianic prophecies indicate that the Messiah would bring judgment and not just salvation. So why is there not any judgment happening? Why aren't the Romans being overthrown? Why aren't any of the judgments that we read about among the prophets of the Old Testament, fire coming down from heaven, bears coming out to maul, mocking young people, grounds opening up, people being struck with leprosy, people turning into a pillar of salt? Why aren't any of these taking place? Perhaps John was frustrated in that the working of the Messiah was not speeding up. Just John was pining away. Works on your nerves. Look what happened to Job after many months of his trial, of losing his wealth and his health. Job cursed his birthday. And Job wondered about God's sovereignty and goodness. Perhaps John was just suffering physically and mentally. But he just simply needed that assurance. I don't know about you, but I think if I know I'm going to die, and John probably perceived that he wasn't going to leave the prison, that this was his last draw, that the Messiah had come, and so he thought, and if this is the Messiah, then my work is done. I'm the forerunner. I'm the rug that's spread out. And he's walking, he's already walked on the rug. My time is over. But I don't know about you, but I know if I'm on my deathbed and I have my senses, I'm going to want you all to quote promises of God. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing we have life through his name. And that I'm in Christ, that I know that if I close my eyes in death, that I won't wake up in darkness or in flames, that I'll wake up in the Lord's presence, that I'm not going to be annihilated or turned into a worm, that I'm going to really be with Christ. Ryan Corbett is pining away in a cell in Afghanistan. We got to pray not only for his health and for his deliverance, but for his mind, that he might not doubt whether Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He talks about his skin being like alligator skin. No doubt his teeth must be rotting after 2 years without a dentist. His food is meager. He's lonely. He's cold or hot. He's missing his loved ones, his church. He's not able to preach like he used to. Maybe he's saying, Lord, assure me that I'm in the right. John may have been thinking, I'm a prophet and I'm in prison. There wasn't any prophecy of the forerunner ever being executed or in prison. Maybe he thought that the rest of my days would be spent in just satisfaction that I've done the will of God and that I can have a family and I can have a wife and children and I can live a godly life in some town and serve the Lord. But no, he's in a dungeon and his days are really numbered. He needs that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. that Jesus is the Messiah. We need blessed assurance in danger, for death, and for eternity, that Jesus is the Christ. He's my Savior. We have a lot of religions that say we're wrong, that we're infidels, that we're bigoted. Lots of darts cast from every direction. We need the assurance. Are we in the right? Is this right? Is Jesus the Messiah, Son of God, Savior of the world? Jesus is the coming one. Remember, the two on the road to Emmaus said, we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And Jesus went on to say, trust even more. But that was their attitude. They went home dejected. John may have a little dejection in jail. Don't blame him. And you know, Jesus didn't take offense to John's question. You might think, you know, so often we take offense when people question us. Are you really a Christian? You know, what's our reaction? What do you mean? Jesus could have said, John, we're 30 years old. We've known each other from the beginning. You know what your father and mother said about the angel, and you've seen things happening. You know the scriptures. But Jesus went on to praise John, to comfort John. He wasn't about to be offended. And God help us not to be offended, but to just have that scripture, that great peace of they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. That we will take up the sides of those that have some doubts, and not be there to point the finger, but to comfort them and to strengthen them in their doubts. John would later say, John the Apostle, 1 John 4, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. I love this text. Paul, 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said the Messiah, Jesus, has come into the world to save sinners. The Messiah is Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus answers John with an emphatic yes. But he sure beat around the bush to say so. But that's the way of Jesus. So, first of all, Jesus takes an hour to perform some mighty works. This is a proof that I am He that should come. The wonderful works that I'm performing. Don't you remember, John? And you'll tell him, you'll quote from Isaiah 61. Secondly, Jesus tells him, look at the witnesses, John. They have both seen and heard. I've not done this in a corner. There are witnesses, John. And third, he shows the wisdom of the results of his ministry, both negatively and positively. So you have his wonderful works, his wit, the witness and the wisdom. Remember, his wonderful works. The Messiah would be known for his wonderful works. His name, his fame would be that he would be the wonder of a counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In verse 21, he cured infirmities and plagues. He sent out the evil spirits packing. He gave the blind, many blind people sight. The blind see, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are evangelized. The gospel's preached to them. Remember, John, what was prophesied of the Messiah? He would justify many. He would save many, Isaiah 53:11. He would transform sinners. People would call God his salvation. Just like we read in Isaiah chapter 61, The Messiah would have the Spirit of the Lord God upon him and anoint him to preach the gospel to the meek, to be sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And see, John would have read, and also the Messiah would proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. And maybe John was thinking, where's the vengeance, Jesus? So Jesus was saying, the vengeance isn't yet, John. Now is the acceptable year of the Lord. I came not to condemn my first coming, John, but I came to save. The condemnation is coming, John, but not yet. Just like Jesus did not empty all the cemeteries yet when he caused that boy to rise from the dead. He's come to bring beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, to save sinners to become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord that he might be glorified, to build the old wastes, to raise up the former desolations, to repair the waste cities. That's why he came. And he's saying, John, this is what I'm doing. And he waited an hour to give the answer so that they could see some mighty works of the Messiah. John, who else has ever done this? I'm doing this, John. Real blind people are seeing now. Real deaf people are hearing. Real cripples are walking. Really dead people are alive. Poor sinners are being saved. Oh, John, believe the works. Believe the works. Let my works answer that I am the coming one. Don't look for any more. What a comfort that is. This is a message for me, for you. A Messiah moment. Don't look for anybody else. Poor Jews. They're looking for the Messiah to come the first time. He's here. He's been here and he's gone and he's coming back again. Oh, Jewish people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. He's God. He's Jesus. He's a common Savior. He's Christ. He's the coming one. Don't look for anyone else. Your Messiah has come. Oh, people, look to Jesus. Secondly, John, believe the unmistakable witness. Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. There's been no hidden work. It's all been out in the open. Your eyes have been watching. Your ears have been listening. You've heard the blind see and cry and praise God with their voices. You've seen dumb people singing. You've heard of deaf people that can now hear voices and hear the truth. You've seen dead people walk. Look, John, just yesterday, I raised a young boy from the dead. And perhaps in that very hour, he raised some people from the dead. Mark tells us that Jesus did all things well. He was case tested, he was cure tested, and he was clock tested. Case tested. He hath all things well done. That's how you can translate Mark 7:37. All things. He's case tested. He didn't put the cripples in the basement like some of these charlatans do. He didn't put the blind people and the cripples and the really handicapped people in the basement. He brought them right out in the open. He touched the man that was born blind. He gave him sight. He was case tested. Throw anything at me. Lepers, people filled with demons, blind people, dead people. people with hemorrhaging, anybody, throw them at me. The worst is sinners. He saved tax collectors who were the turncoats of society. He saved prostitutes. He saved proud Pharisees. He was cure tested. It says he hath done all things well. You know, again, the cripple didn't come back limping, did they? The deaf didn't come back with one ear that was still deaf. Jesus did all things well. They could hear. They had 20/20 vision. They could hear. You know, it's interesting when you go through the yearly physical. It's kind of a cinch, but, you know, they'll go, which ear? And they'll whisper, red, green, blue. And, you know, you have to tell them exactly what they're saying. And all those deaf people pass those tests. Can you see people around them saying, all right, tell me, who am I? You know, to the blind person. What do you see? You see red, you see green, you see blue. Who do you see? And you can see some blind man saying, I see an ugly person in front of me. You want to joke with me, I'll joke with you. And you know, a deaf person, hearing that little snap of a finger behind his ear, and hearing his loved ones coming from behind him, calling his name and being able to turn around. And the one who'd been in the grave was now standing before them. He was cure tested. They didn't die the next day. And it was clock tested. He hath done all things. He hath all things well done. We're done. He's clock tested. Again, they didn't come back the next week. And the situation had reversed. How often is it said of us, we go to the doctor and it seems all's well and we're back to where we were the next week. It's Jesus whose work is clock tested. And I can tell you, can we not sing when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You think Jesus' work will be clock tested, brother and sister? Will you be saved in 10,000 years? Will you be saved in 1,000,000 years? Will you be saved in 10 million years? Will God change his mind? Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen. Those are the true Yahweh witnesses. The Jehovah Witnesses use Isaiah 43:10 as their key text. But who are the true witnesses of the Lord's work? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43:10. Jesus was saying to John, I've got witnesses, John. Verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to those that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's chapter 42:43. He says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am. I am he. Before me there was no God for him, neither shall there be any after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Who is the I am? Jehovah. Who is the Savior? He says, there's no other Savior but me. Yet Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Son of God. Ye are my witnesses. Not only were the common people the people witnesses, but John had been a witness. He was much more than a prophet. A prophet was one that spoke. Behold the Lamb of God, he had spoken. Takes away the sin of the world. There have been no mirages, John, no tricks. There are multiple witnesses that I am the Messiah, that I have done the works that were prophesied of the Messiah. John, believe the works. Believe the witnesses. Ask for yourself. And believe wisdom is justified of her children. It's an interesting expression. But he shows, John, verse 35, wisdom is justified of her children. What does that mean? Wisdom will be seen as in the end, not necessarily in the beginning, but in the end, to be justified, to be proven true. Jesus may not have been seen as the ultimate Messiah before he was crucified, but when he was raised from the dead, wisdom had been justified, that he was the Messiah, that the Messiah was prophesied to die, though they were blind to it. He's saying, look at the wisdom of the results of my work, John. People are being persecuted for me. John's in prison. That's been prophesied. People are confessing. They're justifying God when they were baptized by John. They're saying, God was right that I'm a sinner, that I needed the baptism of repentance. They submitted. Submission to God's word is a result of the work of Messiah. They were baptized. They rejected Judaism. It's interesting, little sidelight of Jesus saying that there were people that played, little children played games, played the wedding game and played the funeral game. They would play a happy tune and people would dance. It was like a little game. Let's play wedding. And they would play a happy tune and we were to dance to the tune. And then they'd say, let's play funeral. Let's play dirge. And they'd play a dirge, a depressing tune. And people would mourn. This is how children played. He gives us a little view about what they did in the streets. Or even what they did at a wedding outside. Or at a funeral outside. This is one of the games that the kids would play. And John said, and it's hard for people to see, perhaps looking at both ways. When the Pharisees said, dance, Jesus and John mourn. People mourn. When the Pharisees said, mourn, people dance. In other words, the result of the work of the Messiah was people saw through to the Pharisees' coldness and deadness and their Judaism, and they rejected the Judaism of the Pharisees. But then the Pharisees turned around and say, that we played wedding with John and he played funeral. They call him a demon. To Jesus, they said, we played funeral with you and you played wedding and you danced. You can't please an unbeliever. Whatever you say, you bring a John the Baptist that is who fasts and who eats locusts and wild honey, and he's out in the wilderness preaching, and you can't satisfy him with that element. You send Jesus to them who's eating with publicans and sinners, interacting with souls and preaching the gospel. They don't believe it. There's some people you cannot please, no matter what passage of scripture you bring. It's like so many of us sometimes. One preacher was saying that his father had a friend who would always buy a new car. Before he would visit them every 2 or 3 years, he'd always have a new car. And every single time, how's your car? Oh, I don't like the way that the tires wear out too easily. Then the next car he had, I don't like the way that it slants to one side. He always had something negative to say about his new car. He just wasn't satisfied. Jesus said, look, the results of my ministry are evidence John and I have been defamed. They've called John a demon, and they've called me a glutton and a wine bibber. They slandered Jesus. What Jesus is saying, wisdom will be proven in the end. Maybe not so much in the beginning. Didn't Jesus say that? Blessed are you that mourn, for you shall laugh. The tables are going to be turned at the end. God's people are doormats in this day and age. Woe unto you that weep, that laugh now, for you shall weep, he says. Blessed are they that are not ashamed, that do not take offense in me. Pharisees and lawyers have rejected the will of God. John came telling them they needed to confess and forsake their sins and they wouldn't be baptized. Just like Daniel prophesied, some will believe and some will disbelieve. Some will turn to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Oh, how Jesus was so warm toward John, wasn't he? He didn't take offense at John's lapse of faith, if that was a lapse of faith. He strengthened John. He knew John was going to die very soon. He's saying, John isn't any wimp. He's not like the reed that blows with the wind. He's been strong. He's been faithful. He's been courageous. He's not been a man that has worn kingly robes, wanting to be pampered and carried around. But there's not a greater person than John the Baptist. Yet there is a greater person. You ever notice how he says that? He says about John, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is greater in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So he's saying there's not one that's born of women that's greater than John, but the one who's greater than John. It's just a way of contradiction. He's saying John has been a man of privilege. He's a forerunner of the Messiah. He did no miracle, and look what God wrought through him. Many people were saved. Isn't that amazing? You think that in order for John to have been successful, he would have had to perform miracles, and yet the Bible says that he performed not one miracle. But he said, those that are beyond, John was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and Jesus put him on the same plane as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah and all the rest of the prophets like Samuel. But he said, John, he's basically saying, but John never saw the cross until he went to heaven. John never saw Pentecost, never saw the explosion of the church in revivals. John never saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those of you who live beyond John or even have greater privileges than John, if we have greater privileges, oh, may we use them by the way we live and witness for the Savior. John was weird to the people. Jesus was too wild for them. Like, again, the people that are never satisfied. The weather is either too cold or too hot. It's too wet or too dry. It's too light or it's too dark. It's time at the water fountains that you and I say, isn't God good to us? To provide our needs. We need the rain to fill the wells. We need the sunshine to cause the flowers to bud. We need the dampness for the grass to grow. We need the darkness for the beast to rest. One man gave an illustration of the fact that John was great, but we're greater in the sense of privileges. He talked about Susan Anthony, who in 1872 was arrested for trying to vote as a woman. And she struggled and struggled to get women the freedom to vote. She died in 1906. The 19th Amendment did not occur until 1920. And he made this statement. He said, "A no-name housewife in Iowa, greater than Susan Anthony, she can walk up to a voting booth and simply vote." Susan Anthony did all the work, all the blood, sweat, and tears. And the 19th Amendment didn't occur until 14 years after she died. Think about the man who was he not court-martialed or imprisoned because he said that you could fly off aircraft carriers? He did all the work, went to prison, died. Everybody else that was on his shoulders were given the privilege and the blessing. But he got all the defamation. John did all that work for the Savior. He's pointing others away from himself to Christ. And you'd think that John would have been brought before Herod's throne and pinned with, a pin for being a faithful witness, unselfish witness of the Messiah. That John could be celebrated in some ceremony by Christians. Get married and have children and family, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and live long enough to see Pentecost, to see the gospel spread all the way to the city of Rome. But no, he's in a dungeon. And when he hears a soldier coming toward him, it's not to give him a little bit of food, a few bites of bread, if that at all. He hears the key to the latch, and the door swings open. And when they tell him to come out of his prison, it's not to release him to his friends. It's to put his head on a chopping block and to see, the sunshine gleam off the edge of the sword. Before you know it, he's in heaven. He's gone. All because he served Jesus. But I know this much. When John was beheaded, he knew that Jesus was the one who was to come. And he was not looking for another. He could say, "Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with you." And I wonder if he preached to that executioner one last time, one last gospel message. "Go ahead, sir. Threaten me with heaven. I'm going to be with my Lord." This was a Messiah moment that has run through the ages. To you and me, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing on him, we have eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him. You've got to get to Christ to get to heaven. You've got to get to Jesus Christ to get to heaven. No other way. You bypass Jesus, you bypass heaven, and you go straight to hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Father, I thank you that your Son is the Messiah. We don't look for any other. But we confess, Lord, that we get depressed. We confess, Lord, that we have fainting fits. Lord, we confess that we often entertain the doubts of the devil that are whispered into our ears. "You fools, You've wasted your life. You've gone the wrong direction. Oh, Father, we need your comforting words. We need the comforting promises. Lord Jesus, pray for us. We're weak. When we're weak, when we're sick, when we're hurting, when we're tempted, when we're assailed, we're often, Lord, going into the doldrums, doubting castle. Oh God, give us victory through your Son. Pray for us, Lord Jesus. Pray for prisoners of the gospel that, like John, are crying, Lord, are you the one? Lord, did I trust the right Savior? Am I not going to heaven if I die in this dungeon? Lord, comfort them even now, every single one of them, wherever they are. Help us, Lord. Keep on keeping on. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Forgive our sins of cowardice and unbelief, and sloth and pride, covetousness. Lord, what have we not sinned against you? But there is victory in Jesus. There is mercy at the cross. Wipe us clean. Wash us clean from our sin. Help us to know how to handle times of difficulty. Like Job. Oh Lord, we read of Job starting to cave in and get discouraged. Job, Lord, get discouraged. We need help. Strengthen us. Steal us. For these dark times. Hear our prayer. We believe, Lord Jesus, that you are the one Messiah that came. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Please help us not to turn away from thee. Don't let us backslide. Don't let us fall away. Please help us to be faithful to the end. Pray in your name. Amen. What is the closing hymn? 589.